our father's new affliction in Egypt, yet they were redeemed. These are the words that start the Seder meal, the Passover meal, known as the Haggadah. Can you repeat after me? Haggadah. It's very fun. We pick words based on how fun they are to say. Haggadah is one of those Hebrew concepts that is tricky because it means something very specific, like the telling of the story of redemption to commence the Passover meal. But on a deeper level, Haggadah means the participation in this story, living into the story of redemption that God has initiated and begun and continues today. Today is the beginning of a new series called The Journey, finding ourselves in God's story. And it's a series based on the elements of the Passover. And on one level, it's about going deeper in understanding our own story. But on another level, I want to prepare us for the season of Lent, the time of year when we get to be intentional about our spiritual disciplines as we anticipate the coming of Good Friday and Easter. And I want to prepare us for a Seder meal that we can all have together during the Holy Week, the day before Good Friday. There is an event that is deeply embedded into the identity of every Jew alive. And we can be mindful of the Holocaust, and that this historical event is a happening that is deeply embedded into the identity and memory of all Jews. It's an event that needs to be remembered and acknowledged. But Haggadah brings to mind the story of God's people leaving Egypt in haste and being set free. The story is in the Old Testament and set in the book of Exodus. It's the story of God's people living as animals and slaves in Egypt for hundreds of years, for generations. A people who, despite promises, who despite hope and potential, despite identity, were living a life of hopelessness. Day after day, toiling for nothing. Raising children for nothing, other than see them put into slavery themselves. The Exodus is a story of pain and suffering. But it is also one of the most dramatic stories of freedom ever. It's a story of God setting people free, redeeming them. It's the story of the Exodus, and it's the basis of the Passover. It's the Haggadah of the Passover, the story of the Passover. Our passage for today is Deuteronomy 16, verses 1 to 3, and I'm going to be reading out of the New Living Translation. In honor of the Lord your God, always celebrate the Passover at the proper time in early spring. For that is when the Lord your God brought you out of Egypt by night. Your Passover sacrifice may be from either the flock or the herd, and it must be sacrificed to the Lord your God at the place he chooses for his name to be honored. Eat it with bread made without yeast. For 7 days, eat only bread made without yeast, as you did when you escaped from Egypt in such a hurry. Eat this bread, the bread of suffering, so that you will remember the day you departed from Egypt as long as you live. After years of slavery, after years of oppression, after years of hopelessness, God freed his people. The remembrance of this is Haggadah. What a story for us to enter into today, because how many of us in our own way can relate to being captive to something, to being slaves to sin, to addiction. How many of us can relate to living in oppression one way or another? Or have at least witnessed someone we love living in some kind of oppression? And how many of us at some point of our lives have felt hopeless, stuck, like we are simply going nowhere? God has freed his people. He freed them from slavery and oppression. This is Haggadah. This is the meaning of the Passover, to remember where we came from and what God has done. The Hebrews were given specific commands about the Passover. Not only were they given commands about what to do, as we will touch on later in the series, but how often. Exodus 12:14 says this: each year, from generation to generation, you must celebrate it as a special festival to the Lord. This is a law for all time. There's something that really sticks out to me there. This is a law for all time. Not for a while, not for when you feel like it, for all time. Live in and remember this story for all times. It must be pretty important. Remember and relive what God has done every year. So every year, with the recitation of the Haggadah, Jews around the world reenact the events of the Exodus. And the Jews, when they enter the story of the Passover, will tell the story of freedom, as is required by Exodus 13:8. You must explain it to your children. I am celebrating what the Lord did for me when I left Egypt. That's what they say. Now, we can react to this in different ways. Well, that's just old legalism. It's not for me. Or, neat, but we have Easter. We don't need this. Or maybe, I don't want that. My identity is not in that story. But a personal reflection. I find the Passover alluring and beautiful. And on another level, what an amazing way, what a tactile way to engage the family in a story of the Bible that shapes us. So, I react with a bit of longing for something more. There is not much grounding me, and I guess probably most of us, in the Christian story in terms of traditions that we engage deeply in. We do have some traditions, but these have largely become secularized. And there is another factor that I want to examine. It seems to me that our faith, with the advent of modernity and its resulting impact, has minimized the importance of participating in story. And thinking has become that to be grounded in one's faith is about propositional statements, ideas, entries into books, memorizing facts. It's really a question of, where does our identity as God's people come from? Does it come from a statement of facts? Or from something more like Haggadah, from living into and out of God's story? Let's face it, we are more than facts. I have this piece of paper in my wallet that they give new people to BC. Yellow ones for Alberta people. I think they're all yellow, actually. But this is my driver's license. And it says some things about me. Hair color, brown, no gray. Eyes brown. And weight, it doesn't really specify. It doesn't give a number. It just says athletic, build, muscular, and cut. But the thing is, this gives information about me, but it doesn't really tell you about me, about who I am, about what my life means and where it finds meaning. One of my favorite Christian thinkers is C.S. Lewis, the author of our beloved Narnia Chronicles. He said that the goal of the story of Narnia was not so much to teach Christian facts, but through story to drive people deeper into the Christian story, to make it a part of their being, to make it their narrative, to drive them deeper than facts alone do. Lewis came to a famous conclusion that the gospel narrative, the narratives were a larger story which made sense of all other stories. It wasn't that long ago that the story told by the Bible was the story by which people understood the meaning of their lives. And for many centuries, even after the invention of the printing press, it was the only book that most households had. Most homes have a Bible today, but with the rise of this movement called modernity, the way the Bible is approached has changed. Modernity has a way of understanding the world that seems to see it as mechanistic, as a bunch of small moving parts that need to be tinkered with. And the way you understand something is to understand it in its littlest parts, in the tiniest details. And I'm not saying this is bad in and of itself. We've had many discoveries of modern science because of modernity. But it has had a profound impact on how we view the Bible and how we understand individual identity. Today we tend to treat the Bible as a reference book of helpful thoughts that we turn to when we need something, when we need comfort, guidance, or direction. And it's reflected by this acronym, Bible, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth. Like some kind of reference book. Even in our readings of the Bible in church, we tend to only look at very short passages. And this reinforces the idea that the Bible is a collection of nuggets of wisdom from which we can choose and find helpful if we need to. But if this is the case, it's not the Bible itself that dictates what's worth reading. We decide in advance, and the Bible is not our authority. We decide what we want to hear and when. And I want to tell you that there is a difference between being a people of the book and a people of the story. We are to be a people of the story. There's an old hymn. I think it's older than all of you here, but I'm not sure. Some of you might be older than I think. No offense. I'm not looking at anyone. It's called Blessed Assurance. It goes like this. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God. Born of a spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story. This is my song. Praising the Savior all the day long. This is my story. What does it mean to live in a story? What does it mean to be so embedded in what God has done, so profoundly entered into the story of his people? It means that we have an identity that will not be shaken. It is a blessed assurance. If I had a timer on my watch, I could predict when I have to blow my nose every sermon. I don't understand why, but it just happens. So that's out of the way. Never think about it again. You know what I like about Passover? And specifically Haggadah, the word and the concept. It reminds us that we are a people of the story. We are people of the story, not people of an abstract religious system. This is our story. Because story is not an abstract idea. It's not facts. It's not systems. It's happenings. It's people. It's the events that God is involved in then and even now. And we need to remember what the ancient creeds of the Christian faith declare in confidence. God of God, light of light, for us and for our salvation, came down from heaven, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered, crucified, dead, buried, rose again, sitteth at the right hand of God, shall come again with glory to judge the quick and the dead. These are not theological ideas of religious systems. They are not abstract ideas. They are a series of flesh and blood events that happened. Stories. They are a series of flesh and blood events that are happening. Stories. They are events that have happened and will happen in time and space. Stories. And it's well to remember because it keeps our eyes on the central fact that the Christian faith always has to do with flesh and blood, time and space. That's what the incarnation, the coming of Jesus, was about. It was about him entering our story in time and place, in flesh and blood. And his story became entwined with our stories, with your flesh and blood, with my flesh and blood, with our stories. So if you're asking, what is this hobby horse that Kevin is riding on now? I want to convince you that Haggadah, the Passover, is an imperative for us today that we desperately need. We desperately need to be a people who are founded on identity, not a list of facts. We desperately need to be a people whose identity is formed by what God has done for his people and what he is doing for his people. We need to enter into the story of God's people who does that for us as we journey forward. Funny thing is, the thing that I think we have maybe forgotten as followers of Christ is this: no matter what has happened to us in this life, no matter what our financial situation, doesn't matter if you have lots of money or no money, no matter if you're a boy or a girl, a man or a woman, no matter what your address is, or if you have no address, it's no matter what your life story is, we all share the same story. 1 Peter 2, verses 9 and 10 says this: but you are not like that, for you are a chosen people. You are royal priests, a holy nation, God's very own possession. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God, for he called you out of the darkness into his wonderful light. Once, you had no identity as a people. Now you are God's people. Once you have received no mercy, now you have received mercy. We were once not a people, but now we are a people. It's great footing for equality in the church. We all share the same story. We all share things that give us an identity. What is your identity found in? The idea of entering into God's story, the story of God's people, and sharing it means that we participate in a living, active story that shapes faith and shapes identity. God rescued his people from slavery. But I want to tell you that today, God is still in the business of rescuing people from slavery and setting captives free. Christ has helped us escape from slavery, and he calls us to live into and out of that new story of redemption. Remember what you have been freed from. Remember your personal story. and frame it within the bigger story of what God has done and is doing. Why remember this story? Year after year? Why? Why is it important to remember? God's story forms our identity. It is our story. We need to live into it and out of God's story. We are a people of the story. We, all of us, have known affliction, but we have been redeemed. Amen.